Welcome to worship at Advent. I was thinking before the service, as we gather today, there are over 2 billion Christians around the world, and from many hours earlier and through many hours of today, they are joining with our praise and thanksgiving to the Lord this morning. The pews aren't filled yet, but around the globe, people are doing what we are doing. We are part of something that is so massively huge and is growing every day. So reflect on that as I say, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
So this is the last Sunday. This is the last Sunday of Epiphany. And our reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 and then 15 to 18. The appearance of the Lord is strange, stunning, and sometimes it is scary. We do well to remember God's greatness. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the mountain, come up to me on the mountain, and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone, with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 99 on page 4 in the bulletin. Let's read responsively by verse. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all peoples.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One.
O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron are his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord your God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. Our second lesson is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Paul says, knowing Jesus as his Lord is more important than all other things. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
The Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. I'll be reading in a moment from the 17th chapter. The contrast this morning is interesting of two major mountains and the impact they have in the story of the gospel. Matthew was on the mountain in the Exodus excerpt that Dick read where God came to him and made a major impact on him and on the people. On the mountain of Transfiguration, which I'm going to read, God didn't come down upon Jesus. The revelation of the Son of God came out from within, the one that we knew as the son of a carpenter. And huge transition in our understanding, at least for the disciples, of who Jesus was as the Messiah. I start reading at verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Of the Transfiguration in Matthew 17 is fascinating. A couple of years ago, I went hiking up a mountainside in outside of Colorado Springs, and we went up to about 10,000 feet. And that being new to me, it was interesting as we went from the base where it was sunshiny and shorts weather, and when we got near the top, it was snowing. And it was an interesting, kind of arduous, lazy walk, but we got to a place that was just edifying to see. Well, Jesus took his three inner circle men with him up a mountain. Some think it's Mount Tabor, and it would have been a hike of just under 4 miles. So this was significant, and this wasn't as a part of just sightseeing. They were on a mission, and so they made that sacrifice simply because Jesus said, come with me. They trusted him. And when you think about what happened to me in Matthew's account, it's obvious that what happened was not about Jesus. It was for the disciples, for them, as he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem to lay down his life, that they would understand who he was. He wasn't simply the great teacher and the healer, that he really was the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. And so on that mountaintop, there were three things that happened. Jesus was revealed in his heavenly glory. Moses and Elijah appeared, and then finally the glory cloud from heaven descended. So first, Jesus being revealed in his heavenly glory. It is impossible to describe Matthew, who had spoken to different people about what happened, said that Jesus was transfigured, which comes from a Greek word that we use as metamorphosis, that he was in one form as Jesus, the son of a carpenter, an itinerant preacher, and now what was revealed was someone who was entirely different. The disciples still recognized him, but metamorphosis, the word that's used, means it refers to an outer change that comes from within. When Moses went up the mountain, God appeared to him, and whenever he went into the tent of meeting, it was said that his face shone because he had been in God's presence. Jesus' face didn't shine because he had been in God's presence. His radiance was revealed because he was very God of very God, the Son of God who would come to lay down his life. And for the disciples, that was pivotal. They didn't grasp it. Many of them then ran away prior and during the crucifixion, but ultimately 11 came back. But then they would understand what it was that happened. Later, Jesus had said, don't talk about this until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Later, John wrote, we beheld his glory. We saw that he wasn't simply an anointed, powerful teacher. He was the radiance, the glory of God. And Peter wrote, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Think about that. If you were there and if you could take out your cell phone and take a picture of it, it would be even then indescribable, because this was not something from the created order. This was from heaven. A glimpse of heaven was revealed, and the one who is the Ancient of Days in the book of Revelation, the one whose voice is like the sound of many waters, appeared to the disciples to reveal that he was who the prophet said he was. So that was huge. Then Moses and Elijah appeared. Think about this. Moses lived about 1,400 years prior. Elijah lived about 900 years prior to this moment. Yet here they were alive in a glorified state that was so impactful for the disciples. They represented the law and the prophets. And think about it. Jesus fulfilled the law that Moses had received on the mountain by providing an answer for the problem of sin, which was himself as the Son of God. The law pointed out the problem, and Jesus became the solution. Likewise, he was a fulfillment of the centuries of prophecies that said a Messiah is coming who will restore God's people, all the way back to the book of Genesis. So the sum of everything that was revealed in the Old Testament now appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. The Old Covenant and now the New Covenant. One, Moses was the mediator of the Old, and now was revealed the mediator of the New Covenant, Christ. So Jesus was transfigured, the two Old Testament saints came, and finally the glory cloud. A bright cloud appeared. It was the same cloud that had guided Israel out of Egypt, the same cloud that had appeared to the people in the desert and guided them, the same cloud that had appeared to Moses on the mountaintop, as well as the same cloud that had filled the temple with glory when it was dedicated. This was the manifest presence of the Lord. So what's the impact? For the disciples, the impact was that they were participating in an event that was a transition in the history of God's dealing with his people. The old covenant was now coming, and the new covenant was replacing it in the one who was revealed on the mountaintop. The bigger question now is, what is the importance of the Mount of Transfiguration for us? And I see three simple things for us to kind of receive from it. Number one, Jesus appeared in his glory. Heaven is not just a theory. He came from heaven in a human form so we could relate to him, but on the mountaintop he revealed the majesty of who he was. Heaven is real. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." What was being revealed on the mountaintop when we say, "Jesus, would you come into my life and be my Lord and Savior?" That same transformation, the same word, metamorphosis, is used here to describe what happens in us. We look the same, but a miracle is happening so that when we meet the Lord in the air, we will take on that glorified body with which we'll worship the Lord forever. So heaven is a part of what is revealed. The second thing that's revealed is life after death, for sure. Moses and Elijah were gone for centuries, but they revealed the fact clearly that there is life after death. There's a place prepared. The revelation that these two saints were in their glorified bodies says that's also our future. And then thirdly, the climb up the mountain, to me, that it's fascinating. Having done a little bit of hiking, you have a goal, it's tiring, but you say, "I want to reach that peak." Sometimes in our lives, we have struggles. Perhaps it was, like for me, it was part of the struggle was earning a college degree or two, of raising children, of establishing a career. Some of you are dealing with a physical challenge. It can be like climbing a mountain. Some living as a single parent. Some, like me, as a single person who was married, can be like we're climbing a mountain. It can be tiresome, but we understand that at the top there's glory that awaits, and so we continue to climb. The Transfiguration reminds us that even though at times our life is challenging, God has a purpose and a meaning and a destiny for us at the end. And so it can help us refocus that it's not simply about today, about getting through today. It's about climbing a mountain toward what God has ultimately prepared for us in the end. And that's the paradox that the Bible talks about: peace, joy, and hope. But sometimes those come through the challenge of a steep climb to understand that I'm not doing this alone. I'm a part of something that God is doing in our generation that is reshaping the world. You probably know that the rate of conversions to Christ is exceeding the birth rate worldwide. Somewhere close to a third of the population confesses Jesus as Lord. A big place is being prepared for us at the end. And a part of our walk now, which sometimes can feel like climbing a mountain, is that we are doing this because we are empowered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit in our lives, knowing that something wonderful awaits us at the end. And sometimes we get in such a battle with ourselves, physically, mentally, emotionally, that we can forget the mountaintop that awaits us, that time of such great joy for all of God's people. So I want to close with this passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Peter was on the mountain. He saw the revealing of the divinity of Christ. And he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials." You and I have been distressed by various trials. It's a part of life. But our ultimate destiny is not the trial. It's not what we're walking through now. It's what awaits us in eternity with the Lord. And so I encourage you to reflect on that God has so much more for us than we've seen. And as you walk through your life, remember the mountaintop and what awaits you. Let's stand now together as we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are on page 7 in our bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, for our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, for Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, for a president, for Congress, for judiciary at the federal, state, and local level, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, the homeless, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. And we especially pray for those on Advent's prayer list. We pray for health and recovery for Ed and Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Dave, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, George, Shirley. We pray for Tony, for Ed and Sylvia Little, for Trevor, for Ken and Jim, for Richard, for Jack, for Liz, and for the Eliza Jennings residents, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those present and for those who are not here, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And let's take a moment right now to pray silently or aloud for those that the Lord brings to your mind. We pray for all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord.
Mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another to all our life in Christ our God. And let's pray together this final prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open to us what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another. Welcome back. Thank you. You're ready. The guys are ready to sing.
What would announcement time be without Pete?
We'll try this again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tuesday night, we've got our Shrove Tuesday pancake and sausage dinner. All sorts of good stuff, good pancakes. We're going to have two kinds. We're going to have the buttermilk pancakes, and we're also, for those that need the gluten-free pancakes, we'll have some of those as well. You get to put your toppings on. So there's going to be chocolate chips, there's going to be bananas, strawberries, blueberries. Maybe I'll throw some apples. I could throw in peaches and a pear tree. So come one and all, 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, and enjoy. Thank you.
So listening to that litany, why is it called Fat Tuesday? So as we were singing Shine Jesus Shine this morning, I was standing there looking out the windows behind Cynthia and Paul, and it is wonderful in Cleveland, Ohio, to see the sun shine, isn't it? So how fitting it is that the sun is out this morning, and on the front of the bulletin, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Paul's sermon talked about transfiguration, the glory of God revealed. Our introductory song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. The gospel procession, shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm kind of slow, but I think there's a theme there. Let me also remind you of Bishop Love joining us on March 15th. We'll have one service, a 10 o'clock service. We'll have two people being confirmed into the Episcopal Church and three being baptized. One of the things that we want to do in this time with Bishop Love is to celebrate his ministry. Celebrate his life, celebrate his ministry, celebrate his stand that he's taking for truth. And so during the service, we will be laying on hands, we will be praying for him, and I ask that you, if you feel so moved to speak a prayer publicly, that you let the Holy Spirit speak to you and think and prepare ahead of time of what words the Holy Spirit brings to you as we lay hands on Bishop Love. He is a faithful leader. We are extremely blessed to have him coming and visiting with us. And so let's make this a special occasion for Bishop Love and for Advent. Finally, there will be someone to pray with you in back during Holy Eucharist. Peace be with you.
Dick, before you leave, could you go back to the mic? I haven't crocheted you anything, so it's not that. But is there anything else you'd like to tell the people that might be happening the middle of the week?
The middle of the week. Let me think now. Shrove Tuesday.
That's good. Peter talked about that. Anything else?
Ash Wednesday.
And what time is that?
I don't know. What time is it, Paul?
The newsletter says 7:30. Does that work for you?
7:30. I'll see you there.
All right.
See you there. 7:30.
As we prepare... Beg your pardon?
Who pulls your chain?
I got an emergency text from Sally, so I had to remind.
She told you, she told me.
Yes. As we continue, I love to catch people off guard. It's one of my spiritual gifts. As we continue to prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. And sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me now in praying the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come and receive in faith.
join us in singing You Satisfy the Hungry Heart, found on your handout.
You satisfy the hungry heart with you. showing what the fellowship of believers means. It's a beautiful thing. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God,
Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us
as the living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of our heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This blessing from 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Just a minute, and I'll give you some input. Ray? It wasn't all on foot. Oh, absolutely. and it was leisurely. Yes. Yes, you're right.
Huh? Are you? Good, how are you?
What part of Florida? I love it. You really enjoy it. Enjoy it. With her? Also to Florida? Wonderful. You're going to... What? And what part are you going to? So good. I love Florida.